They claim that they never went into the yard, but they went into the yard. They claim that they never abducted anyone, but they abducted people. So they are totally lying. They say cover up. We want justice for police.
Were you worried about what your children thought? Mm. Did they know what happened?
Yeah, especially my firstborn. So all of it.
What is he asking?
Because now he really asked, Mama, they wanted to kill you like Malumi Collins. The soldier wanted to kill you like Malumi Collins.
We are 12 weeks or 3 months into South Africa's national lockdown, and according to a statement made by Police Minister Bekele last week, in South Africa, there is no police brutality. But while Minister Bekele turns a blind eye to the outcry of South African citizens, the media is currently reporting that 12 people have died at the hands of law enforcement since the beginning of lockdown, and a further 82 formal complaints have been brought to the attention of the military ombud. In this episode of Boots on the Ground, behind South Africa's national lockdown, we speak to the witnesses and victims who were present when Collins Khoza died. This short podcast series follows Sunday Times reporter Alex Patrick and senior reporter Graham Hoskin as they track, record, and reflect on the real events and people that make up SA's biggest COVID-19 stories. For Boots on the Ground, behind SA's national lockdown, I am Zama Lutuli. Please be advised that the content of this podcast involves descriptions of physical abuse and may be disturbing to some listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised. On the 10th of April, at around 5 o'clock in the evening, Collins Khoza and his brother-in-law, Thabiso Mbango, sat in the yard of their home in Alexandra. They were sitting in lawn chairs quietly enjoying a drink when soldiers entered their street. Graham and Alex now stand with Thabiso on the same street as he tells us what happened next. Thabiso refers to Collins as the deceased, seemingly trying to put an emotional barrier between himself and the event.
A lady came running to the yard. She said, there are soldiers outside. We made jokes about it. You're lying, because we're very far from the gate. I went out to investigate whether she was telling the truth or not. So as I was approaching the gate with my neighbor, the lady who came running, that is when the female soldier noticed me. Earlier on, the deceased and I were having some few drinks. So there was an unattended camp chair outside. She saw the camp chair. She asked me, have you been drinking? To which I said, yes, I've been drinking. She said to me, you know, the president stated clearly that you guys must not drink alcohol. To which I said to her, I don't remember the president saying we must not drink alcohol. What I know is that there has been a temporary ban on alcohol, but the consumption of alcohol is still allowed, provided you're inside your yard or premises, of which this is what is happening right now. Hence, by that time, I was not drinking. It was just an unattended camp chair with a glass of alcohol.
On the 10th of April, SA was under lockdown level 5. According to level 5 restrictions, the purchasing and public consumption of alcohol was prohibited. But many households had purchased liquor prior to the lockdown and were consuming it on their personal properties, as was the case here, according to Tavis.
It sounded like a misunderstanding of the law, because from all accounts, the woman said, you know you're not allowed to be drinking during lockdown, which wasn't the case.
No, not at all. I mean, nobody said you can't be drinking, but it points to, for me, the Military Command Council and the command. You know, what instructions were given? What what were the soldiers told they can or can't do?
Absolutely.
In terms of enforcing the regulations, were they briefed? Were they, the soldiers, actually briefed?
Yeah.
On what is legal and what is illegal?
Well, I mean, it sounds like that there was no connection there.
If Thabiso's account is to be believed, there was no reason for the SANDF officer to be on Khoza's property to begin with. But apparently unsatisfied with Thabiso's reply, the officer elected to escalate the situation.
That is when she said, okay, you think you're smart. Today we are going to prove a point to you. She said to me, I want the alcohol that you have in the house. I said, no, cool, it's fine, let's go. Fortunately, I had one beer in the fridge. Can you imagine, one beer in the fridge. Then as I proceeded to give her the beer, she said to me, again, you think you're smart. The alcohol that you're giving me now is not the same as the alcohol that is outside. There must be somebody that you were drinking with. Of which that is when the deceased, he said to the lady, I was the one who was drinking, sister. But as you can see right now, I'm busy eating. She said, no, I even knew I want your alcohol. Please bring your alcohol. We cooperated. That's when he took one beer also from his fridge and a bucket of stout. We were instructed. By then she was joined in by another SNDF female officer also. The one was holding, the one who was there initially, she had a rifle. The other one had a shambok. So the one with the shambok, she took over everything. She said to the other one, no, let's take these guys to the streets. We need to sort them out. Before we went out, they had an argument with the deceased wife and my wife. They were asking them, but now, how can you take alcohol in the yard? And you are saying they must go to the street with that alcohol, of which they never listened to them. So we went to the streets. As we approached the street, she said, I'm going to call back up for you guys. But before then, something happened. One of the female soldiers slammed the gate against the deceased car, of which the deceased said, but you guys, you're damaging my car. He was told that you think this is a car. We know cars, we have cars. You're not the only one who's got a car. To which he said to me, he said to her, but you are disrespecting me. You are damaging my property, and when I protest, you are saying, you're saying whatever you're saying right now. So she proceeded to call the backup. The backup arrived soon after that. But before it arrived, I cautioned one of them to say, you are calling this backup now on us. Those guys will come here, find the two beers on the street, two gentlemen standing here. It will give them a wrong impression that you got at in the street drinking, and of which is wrong. So that is when she said, no, you guys, I want to prove a point to you. That is when the backup arrived. When they arrived, it was a convoy consisting of JMPD officers and the SNDF soldiers. So as soon as they arrived, only the SNDF members approached us. They approached us. They went straight to the lady who called the backup. That is when she briefed them. After being briefed, they divided themselves among us. I'm not quite sure how many went to him. I can just estimate 4 or 5 went to him. One initially came to me. That is when he started assaulting me. But as he was busy assaulting me, I was busy trying to tell him, whatever situation or scene you see now, it's not as it is. You are being misled. They did not find us in the streets drinking alcohol. They found us in the yard. The young man did not listen to me, started slapping me. I could see by hindsight the deceased was also being assaulted. They were being assaulted simultaneously at the same time. So that is when I said to the young man, no, you cannot assault me like that. If I have contravened any of the regulations, please arrest me. It's better you arrest me than to just assault me for no reason, because I do not see any contravention that I've broken, any regulation that I've contravened. Then he started pushing me towards the SNDF, JMPD, I can say it's a quantum impendulum. So as I was approaching it, two JMPT officers, he pushed me halfway to the quantum. So as I was approaching, two gentlemen came to my direction, JMPT. They said to me, "What's wrong?" I told them the story of what is happening, the real story. Then they said to me, "No, even if we arrest you, what are we going to charge you with? The best you can do right now is to just go back to the yard." I said, "But I was in the yard, and I'm not disputing the fact that I must be in the yard. I was in the yard. I was taken outside by these officers. Mind you, this incident is being witnessed by the whole community. You can imagine the embarrassment I felt as they were busy doing that."
The men are now both being beaten on their street, in plain view of their neighbors, and very publicly. 23 witnesses have been interviewed related to the beating, 5 of which are JMPD officers and 2 are SAPS officers who were suspected of having stood by and watched as the event unfolded. Another witness, who also landed up becoming a victim, was the neighbor directly across the street. She became very emotional when recounting the story, remembering in particular how her children were left alone to watch the violence unfold. She has asked that we keep her name from the story. At around 5 p.m., one of her children came into the house and told her that the soldiers were on the street. Excited to see the officers in uniform, they went into the yard. At that stage, she had no idea the violence that was about to unfold.
So the two female soldiers coming to my opposite neighbor, and then one of them was carrying shambok, one carrying the big gun. And then that time, and then they saw us, and they said, go back to your house. And then we just stood there because I was busy watching. I was looking for one of my kids. I had 2 kids. And then that time when they were saying go back to your house, they were approaching on my neighbor where Chabiso was staying. And then after some few minutes, and then I hear the sounds, but I didn't hear what they were saying. And then after some few minutes again, I hear the voice of Collins saying, "Why are you bumping into my car? Why are you bumping my car?" And then I go back and watch what was happening.
You went back out?
Yeah. And then I saw the Collins showing the one of the soldiers what she did to his car. And then they say we must go back again, and then I go back and hide. After some minutes again, I hear the sounds of, it's like they're clapping.
With hands?
Yeah, with hands, yeah. Hands. I hear the sounds, it's like they're...
She is hearing the beatings from her house across the street, but every time she ventures into the yard, she is instructed to go inside. Mastering her courage, she ventures out one last time, this time with the intention of recording the assault.
We go back and watch again, and then it's where I found the one hitting Collins and the Tabiso. And then I ran to fetch my phone, and then I started to video them. Yeah, I started to video them. And then that time, they were quantum, and then the private were full of the soldiers and the metro police.
The quantum came up this road?
Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
And then we saw the soldiers and the
lots of them.
Lots of them and the metro police. And at the time I was shooting the videos, they were hitting Collins. One of the soldiers saw me, and then she said to me, bring that phone. What are you doing?" She said, "You want me to go to your house? I want that phone. Come back here. Give me that phone.
Were you scared?
The time I was started shaking. And then he said, delete that footage. When I was trying to delete that footage, and then he grabbed me with her hand and take me to the...
Was it a female soldier?
It was a female that time. Yeah,
a soldier.
And then he took me to the quantum, and then ordered me to sit flat on the quantum and start hitting me.
Did you lie down?
No, I didn't lie down because so I was trying to sit on their seat, and then he said your father doesn't have a quantum seat on the floor. And then I sit on the floor, and then he started to punch me.
Was it the female soldier? Or
yeah,
males?
It was a female.
So all the time it was a woman soldier.
Yeah, it was a female. And then she took the phone, and then he ordered me to open the phone, and then they tried to delete everything, that footage, and then after they just left me with the airlock in the quantum.
She is now sitting on the floor of the van for having taken a video of the incident. As horrifying as things seem now, they get worse as the officers allegedly abduct her and another community member.
Little did we know that there were guys who were taking videos. We didn't know, but we heard afterwards that they were abducted. You can't say it's an arrest. An arrest is when you go to holding cells or to the police station. So they were abducted, taken somewhere else.
And then after, because I didn't see what was happening outside, because I was right on the floor, and my concentration was, they said to me, I must not look them on their face, I must just look down. Even then, I was afraid to look up, because when I look up, the clapper will follow me, And then after some few minutes, they took us, me and then we didn't see where we are going, but I heard the quantum was moving.
She's being instructed to not look at the officers, and when she does, they slap her or hit her with their helmets. Her two children have just watched their mother being beaten, thrown in a van, and taken away.
So they took you? They took you in the quantum? Where did they drive you to?
At that time, because I didn't see where we are going, but the time the quantum stopped, and then the same must get out. After, and then I realized, we are at the Alex Mall.
So they just took you on a ride?
Yeah.
Because
I thought they are letting us to go.
And then what happened?
And they ordered us to go inside their big truck.
Yeah.
That soldier truck continues to hit us. And
How many people?
Well, there were too many.
Can't remember. Two?
Yeah, more than two, more than three, maybe five, six. The truck continued to move. I didn't see where we are going again.
So now you're in the other truck?
Yeah, we are in the truck now. They continue to hit us.
So they still carried on hitting you?
Yeah, and very. In the truck was very, like we're saying, yeah, today we are going to die.
She is scared that they are not going to let her go and that the officers are going to kill her.
I had no idea. I mean, I did read that the woman was a woman we spoke to who didn't want to be named. I read that she was allegedly or whatever taken away. When she described what happened to her, I mean, she was actually abducted, beaten, her child left at home on their own. I mean, imagine that happening in Stanton.
Well, never mind Stanton. I mean, how does it happen? I mean, listening to her and listening to what she went through, I mean, it just left me feeling absolutely hollow.
Disgusted.
Eventually, the officers dump her and the other community member on the side of the road and drive off.
They drop us up Lynx Road Freeway.
Oh, the N3?
Yeah,
Lynx Road. How far is that from here?
No, it's far. Cause
more than 5 kilometers away.
Yeah, it's more than 5 kilometers.
Sure.
Yeah.
And
to get home.
And then after that, after they dropped us, they throw their cell phone, and then managed to go and take those phone and then call one of his friends to come and collect us.
Were they talking to each other while they were inside this car?
Yeah.
What were they saying? Yeah, what were the soldiers saying?
No, they were talking about we are doing our jobs and we are disturbing us. We left our kids to come and protect you, and what you acting like you are a journalist. When you took in the videos, you are a journalist. We're gonna show you today. Do you think that they will come home alive? Because even how they beat us, they were beating us hard. So
they managed to contact someone to fetch them and take them home, but at the same time, just across the street, Colin Scorza's partner was allegedly helping him back into the house. She says he starts vomiting, losing his speech and consciousness and his ability to walk. She placed him on the bed and was sitting at his side about 3 hours after the SANDF member left. While still holding her hand, Collins went still. Emergency services call declared Collins dead on arrival. There may have been a video of the alleged attack at some stage, but the officers that are reported to have taken Collins' neighbor managed to delete the video. This is what she recalls having recorded before being put into the van.
So when you saw Collins being beaten, what did you see when you were videoing? Can you describe what you saw on the video, yeah, as you were videoing?
They choked him, and then they hit him with a club, and then with the leg.
And then what? Was it just that? Were they using their guns as well? Or?
The time I was videoing, I was using my phone to video it. It was the time that was doing that.
And when Colin was being beaten, what was he screaming? Was he calling for help? What was his reaction? And Tabisa, what were they?
It was the son that's it. He's hating. This guy, he's hating. No, but it was not screaming. It was singing, like the sound of.
Like he didn't have time.
Mm.
So was he battling to breathe? Could you see, like when they were choking him?
Yeah.
What?
That time I saw it, because I was shouting on the video. If the video was available, you were gonna hear me say, "Oh, one about to wash," because I was screaming.
It's now 3 more months since the incident occurred, and shockingly, these witnesses were only interviewed by investigation authorities last Saturday. These community members, after having seen what they have seen, have understandably lost trust in not only law enforcement, but also in the justice system.
The military ombudsman, as we heard, only came this past Saturday to start interviewing witnesses. I mean, it's almost 10 weeks after Collins was killed.
Yeah.
You know, IPED was the only one which got statements from witnesses. The SANDF concluded their investigation exonerating all military personnel without interviewing witnesses. It's crazy. And so the mistrust and the distrust is completely understandable.
Mm.
And how do you feel when you see soldiers and police now?
My answer will be like this. Before, yes, I had a lot of respect for all law enforcement agencies. Even after now, I still respect them. But the point that I want to make is that I don't want to generalize to say all soldiers are the same. It was an incident that was caused by a group of few people. So we must be very careful there. I've never had any encounter with other soldiers, but the ones that we had that day, it was very bad.
Did you ever get an apology?
We haven't got any apology, because to them, they haven't done anything wrong. They so claim that they never went into the yard, but they went into the yard. They claim that they never abducted anyone, but they abducted people. So they are totally lying. There's a cover-up. We want justice for police.
When you see soldiers now, what do you think? What goes through your mind? Do you think you're in danger?
Yeah, very. Because I even lost the respect, because they don't do their job. Mm. It's not the way they taught them to do.
before this, did you have respect for the soldiers?
Yeah, very, very.
Why?
Even the time my kids were saying, Mom, come and see the soldiers. I saw them, it's like they are the celebrity. I was respecting them.
Mm.
Yeah, because we're not used to see the soldiers moving around.
And when you see police and JMPD, what do you think?
Ah, it's the same. It's the same.
Are you scared for your kids?
Too much.
Why?
The world we are living now is not okay. We don't know who to trust, who not to trust.
And
I can't say, kids, there's this policeman, they're gonna protect you.
Were you worried about what your children thought? Mm. Did they know what happened?
Yeah, especially my firstborn. So it's all of it.
What does he ask you?
Because now he really asked, Mama, they wanted to kill you like Malumi Collins. The soldier wanted to kill you like Malumi Collins.
It's a chilling story, and so far, no one is being held responsible for the death of Collins Khosa or the crimes perpetrated against others at the scene. Defense Minister Nosiviwe Mapisa-Nqakula has said that there is no final word yet on the Collins Khosa incident, despite a SANDF Board of Inquiry finding no one liable for the death of Khosa. Mapisa-Nqakula had instructed the military ombud to conduct a further investigation into his death.
If they were outside the gate and they were drunk and they were drinking and totally disobeying, I mean, it's fucked up.
I mean, go and arrest. If they're breaking, like Tabisa said, if I'm breaking a regulation that is in place and the regulation is meant to protect me and everybody else in the country and I'm breaking it, arrest me. Were they arrested? No.
It's just like, oh, well, he died of blunt force trauma to the head afterwards, so that wasn't us, you know? It's like...
No, I mean, it's like, well, it's basically like saying, oh, well, he got up and he walked around and he banged his head on the wall of his house. He killed himself.
Yeah.
I mean, the entire military command council, including the Minister of Defense, should be hanging their head in shame.
Absolutely.
As SA is consumed by COVID-19 craziness, we are left wondering, will there be justice for Collins Khosa, or will his story be forgotten? For Boots on the Ground, behind SA's national lockdown, a production of Multimedia Live, I am Zama Lutuli.
You are listening to Boots on the Ground, behind SA's national lockdown. Boots on the Ground is a short podcast series documenting South Africa's national lockdown as a result of the outbreak of COVID-19. Boots on the Ground is a true piece of mobile journalism. All interviews, voices, and sound effects have been gathered using nothing but smartphones. Boots on the Ground is a production of Multimedia Live, a division of Arena Holdings. Narration done by Sama Lutuli. Audio gathered by Graham Hoskin and Alex Patrick. Sound design and editing by Paige Muller. Production by Multimedia Head Scott Peter Smith. To catch the next episode of Boots on the Ground for free, please subscribe to the podcast on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.